You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Martin F. Horn, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Probation. Horn was appointed to the position by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg last year. Prior to his return to his home state of New York, he served as Secretary of Administration for the state of Pennsylvania under then-Governor Tom Ridge. Before his selection to that position, Horn served since March 1995 as Pennsylvania Secretary of Corrections. While in that post, Horn is credited with implementing substantial security enhancements and an aggressive drug interdiction program, and also promoted substantial investment in technology development in various areas of corrections. Prior to his position in Pennsylvania Corrections, he served as the Executive Director of the New York State Parole Agency. Today, Commissioner Horn will discuss the use of distance learning in the corrections and criminal justice field. Welcome to today's live talk, Commissioner Horn.
Thanks, Michelle. Good to be here.
Well, we're very glad to have you. We'd like to talk to you today, like I said, about distance learning. And I first wanted to start with some questions about training in general for corrections officers. What is truly required of officers each year?
Well, you know, Michelle, training is critically important to the work of corrections. This is a people business, and the more we can teach our staff how to perform their jobs safely, the better off we all are. So training is critically important, and I think its importance has been increasingly recognized by correctional administrators at all levels of government throughout the country. Every agency nowadays has some sort of basic training program, and it varies from a few weeks to as long as a couple of months. Those programs cover a wide variety of topics, everything from interpersonal relations to deviant behavior to classes in law and the use, the rules governing the use of physical force, and of course things like the use of weapons and self-defense and fire safety and a whole variety of things. So training is a big part of what we do, and it's through training that we make ourselves more effective, and through training that we protect ourselves and our staff.
Now, typically training in corrections has been done at academies or in face-to-face situations. But are financial challenges for corrections agencies making that more difficult to accomplish?
Well, certainly, you know, I think financial challenges are making everything that we do more challenging. The ACA standards, of course, establish minimum standards for basic training as well as for in-service training. And I know that the ACA standards for adult corrections, for example, requires a minimum of 40 hours of training annually. And that's true in probation and parole as well for professional staff. So in order for an agency to meet its requirements to maintain its accreditation, which I think most agencies today view as a worthwhile goal, they have to do that. So how do you do that in an era of diminishing resources or resource constraints is always a challenge. And you're always looking for ways to do it more effectively for less money and with better outcomes.
Now, the expensive part is getting the officers into the academy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think certainly that's probably the most expensive part of training typically. And it's probably different for a county organization. And for example, for us here in New York City, where even our new employees travel by subway every day, it's different for us than it is, for example, in a state corrections department where you're recruiting staff from all over the state and perhaps doing your training in a central training academy. And then you have to actually pay their per diem travel expenses. But the time that people spend in training, of course, is in some ways lost time. While it's, I wouldn't describe it as unproductive, if you hire a staff person and you have, say, a 2-month or 3-month training program, as some state corrections agencies have, or even 6 weeks, as Pennsylvania had, that's a period of time for which you're paying salary. You're certainly paying the travel expense back and forth, their mileage and so on. You may be paying room and board at a motel, or else you're putting them up at some sort of a residential academy. So there are certainly costs. But I think there are equally costs involved in curriculum development and the cost of your trainers. Most corrections agencies, of course, use adjunct trainers who they bring in from other locations. For example, even in New York City, we'll use someone from one of our we have five counties, and one of our county offices might come into another county to do the training. And certainly in state corrections agencies and state parole agencies, people from one part of the state will travel either to a central location or to another part of the state to do training. So there's an expense involved there, and there's an expense involved in developing your curricular materials, and there's expenses involved with record keeping.
Now, one of the ways to sort of solve some of the cost issues is to look toward distance learning, ways to teach staff but do it sort of remotely.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that distance learning is increasingly being looked at as a means to do it better, cheaper, and more effectively.
Now, what are some of the advantages, would you say, to distance learning?
Well, you know, it clearly there's the cost advantage. I've been thinking about it, and there are really a number of other advantages. You know, our corrections personnel, I think this is true throughout the country, certainly I have found it to be true in the three different agencies that I've run, are really excited about the work they do. By and large, there are always some exceptions, but by and large, our staff really finds this work interesting and exciting, and indeed it is. And I think that they like to play around with it in their spare time. It becomes a large part of their identity. So distance learning provides the opportunity for staff to learn on their own time, at their own pace, in their own way, and staff take advantage of that. Clearly, it also reduces cost, but another virtue of it is that rather than having several different trainers teaching the same course occasionally in different ways with different emphasis, it enables you to give everybody the same body of training. So whether it's video teleconferencing or computer-based training, you're achieving a greater degree of consistency in your training. You're also, as I said, allowing staff to learn at their own pace, at their own convenience, and you're doing it for a lot less money.
Right. Now, in terms of coming up with the types of distance learning that you could look at, are there certain things about distance learning, certain areas that folks in corrections tend to move toward?
Well, I think people are initially, I think that the two big things that have made the fastest inroads are the use of computer-based training, primarily through the use of CD-ROMs. Programs complete with digital media and graphics and self-testing and all that sort of thing that's available on a CD-ROM that can either be installed and accessed through some sort of a local area network or intranet at a single site, or that an employee could take home. And I mean, it's pretty inexpensive nowadays to burn a CD and allow an employee to take the course home and work on it. The other thing that I think has been tried is video teleconferencing. And they each have certain advantages and disadvantages, have achieved varying degrees of penetration of the market, and I think are being refined over time. Whereas it's something really new. I would say that probably 5 years ago people weren't doing it, and so it's really very new, and we're getting better at using these different medium all the time.
Now, video teleconferencing would primarily take place while someone was sort of on the job, but there's also some web-based stuff that people could potentially do
right
from their home computers?
Right. Of course, web-based training is most similar to the CD-ROM sort of thing, except the difference is you're not physically tied to one CD-ROM. Staff at any location can access it at any time. You know, if somebody gets off a night shift or gets up early for an early morning shift or whatever, or can't sleep, or just, you know, has curiosity on a rainy Sunday afternoon, they can access it. The beauty of it is that it's very easy to update it. It's very easy to keep records with internet training, and it allows the training authority to keep track of who's accessing it for their progress in the course. It allows interaction with the instructor through online chat or through email, which the CD-ROM and the video teleconferencing doesn't offer. The downside of it, and the problem, of course, is access, although nowadays most people have access to the Internet, but it's true that not everyone does. And the other is security. But I think that security is becoming less and less of a problem. Our ability to manage the security issues gets better every day.
Great. Well, that's a really important point. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Martin Horn, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Probation, about distance learning. Commissioner Horn, I want to get back to the idea of security. And are things like security, are there other things that folks in corrections are a little skeptical about regarding these technologies?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that there's always that group of people who are hesitant about using the computer, afraid of using the computer, listen, there are even people who their computer access, to the extent that it's tied to their family phone line, tying up the phone from home for hours at a time can be a problem. I think there's also the school of thought that says that unless you're actually in the classroom with the instructor, and you sort of have that visceral relationship, that the learning is not quite as good. I think that we increasingly recognize that there are substantial areas of training where that's not true. A lot of the training that our people have to do is training about rules and procedures. It's cognitive learning that lends itself to an interactive computer-based approach, and so internet-based learning lends itself to that.
Is there a certain then type of course or a certain type of training that would lend itself, again, more to
Sure. Yeah. Unquestionably, I think obviously you can't teach unarmed self-defense over the internet or off a CD-ROM or through video teleconferencing. I think there's a certain hands-on quality to it. On the other hand, you can teach the laws and the rules governing the use of physical force through an interactive computer-based or video-based model. You may not be able to teach an officer how to perform CPR over the internet, but you can teach them how to identify shock. You can teach them some basic first aid over the internet. So there are a variety of things that are physical and require hands-on. But there are other things that I think are very susceptible to some form of interactive learning.
Okay. Do you get a sense, in talking to folks in the field, what people are tinkering with, what people are trying out, and maybe you were doing some of that when you were in Pennsylvania before you left?
Well, I think clearly right now computer-based training is the most popular form of learning, and it appears that most computer-based training is on CD-ROMs rather than the web because of the security issues and the access issues, particularly in institutional corrections where you can have an intranet within a facility's secure perimeter. However, the technology is improving so rapidly that we're almost at the point where we can put our courses on secure websites. And the internet gives facilities more flexibility for staff to complete the training and maintain data centrally. In Pennsylvania, in fact, they just completed something that started while I was there. They've converted their right to know fire safety and fundamentals of security training to computer-based training. And so effective next month, they're no longer going to have any instructors. They currently have a few hundred people training those courses.
Oh, wow.
So that will enable them to relieve more officers from their posts to take the training. That's a huge savings.
Sure it is.
They're going to begin to use video conferencing for training in October. But I don't think it's going to have as much of an impact on CBT because it has logistic limitations. New York City, we're developing CD-ROM, computer-based interactive training for a variety of our introductory fundamentals of probation supervision courses for our new probation officers.
Oh, great.
So I think that it's catching on.
Now, what were some of the reasons that you decided in New York City to look into distance learning?
Well, I think for all the reasons that we've talked about, cost, consistency, ease of access, self-paced learning, capitalizing on the natural inquisitiveness of our staff who are going to want to access this stuff in their own way and on their own time and perhaps come back to it repeatedly for their own refreshers. I mean, that's the beauty of a CD-ROM or an internet. You know, if somebody says, you know, I took that course a few months ago, but I want to revisit this issue, computer-based learning enables you to go back to do that. It doesn't cost the department any money.
Right. And frees up trainers for curriculum development.
Right,
and
exactly, as is happening in Pennsylvania. You've got a situation there where they had hundreds of people teaching these courses. You know, in New York, we just had to absorb a 20% budget cut. Well, in an agency that has no hardware, no facilities to run, 20% budget cut translates entirely into people. So you have fewer people to do the training. And, you know, what trainers often tell me is we like to do the training, we're happy to do the training. But when we come back to our office after having been at the, you know, done the training for two or three days, our in-basket is a mile high because nobody did our work while we were away. It doesn't go away. You know, our probationers didn't stop getting arrested.
Right.
There's still reports to write.
That's exactly right. Well, it sounds like there are a lot of reasons to look at distance learning as an option to handle some of these
right.
issues.
And I think the great challenge there is the content. I think that's where we still have to refine it. I don't think the issue with distance learning is the technology. I think that's the least of it. The issue with distance learning is the techniques that we use in that medium. How do we make it interesting? How do we captivate the audience? How do we keep the audience's attention? How do we ensure that the stuff that we are putting out and the testing that we're doing has validity? I think those are the serious challenges.
Well, good ones to think about. That concludes today's live talk, and thank you to Martin Horn of the New York City Department of Probation for joining us today and discussing distance learning and corrections.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. To learn more on long-distance learning and corrections, be sure to read the two-part series featured this week and next week on corrections.com. Thank you again for listening, and for CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.